Blog Talk Radio. Way of honoring and healing. Peace and reconciliation is at the core of what we do. So we began in the year 2000 walking from Pennsylvania to Georgia through the Appalachian Mountains with the intention of honoring our ancestors at the north who escaped the system of slavery through the Underground Railroad, and our ancestors at the south being of Cherokee origin who escaped the Trail of Tears. And so we wanted to reconcile those two tragedies in our history, feeling that, you know, sometimes we pass on unhealed energy. And so we want to embrace the power of who we all are, find the dream in the midst of the tears to pass on to generations to come. And it was sitting in a cave at the end of that walk when there were seven of us, that in the mountains of Georgia, we were taking a rest in this beautiful cave with a waterfall, and this light came into the cave, and we knew in that moment that our journey wasn't over. See, I've been the reluctant peace walker from the beginning. You know, to tell you how prepared I was, when we started this particular journey, our first journey, 5 minutes into the walk, I was totally lost. All right. So being the leader of the team, you want to play it off. But nevertheless, thankfully, my 16-year-old son, who was ahead of us in the woods, found us, got us turned in the right direction so that we could continue the journey. So at the end of every journey, I say, this is my last walk. So at the end of that one, sitting in the cave, this light comes into the cave, and it was an instantaneous knowing among all of us that we had to do another journey. And that journey would take us across the Atlantic Ocean to Ghana, into the slave dungeons, walking the path of our ancestors as they were captured, doing healing and reconciliation work at that level. And so again, as we came back across the ocean on our way back home, we decided, okay, so the healing's done, the walking's done, so now we get on with life. Well, Spirit always has a way of conspiring. Anybody here felt Spirit conspire in your life just when you thought you were going in a certain direction? Well, that's what happened. And I entered a program, a graduate program with Indigenous Study to help a friend of mine, and ended up escorting elders who held traditions of wisdom traditions for over 500 years in their lineage, traveling with them from one part of the world to another, and having the honor and privilege to sit at their feet as they simply exchange stories with one another. My goodness, I you know, even now I have to pinch myself to just hear some of those stories. So in my message today, I'll bring some of these elders to life with you also, because one of the most important treasures that I took out of that experience is that around the world, in places that you would not think are people who have been praying and praying and praying in an unbroken chain of prayers for humanity and Mother Earth for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. Can you imagine that? That was just amazing to me. So somewhere in between traveling with them and some of the experiences we were having back home as we were bringing more elders and youth together to talk about peace, often up in the Georgia mountains, one of the things that began to sort of whisper in my ear was, there's coming a time when you're going to have to walk the talk. Well, I'm like, okay, what does that mean? Well, after our last Beyond the Global Divide experience up in the Georgia Mountains with elders and young people, at the end of that, I entered a room full of volunteers, and I said, does anyone want to walk around the world for peace? And, of course, everyone, there's this silent pause that probably matched the pause in my heart when I had the vision. And so then that's how we began to do a 3.5-year walk across and around 6 continents. Coming back home, we knew it was time to retire, but only from New York to Atlanta, discovered pockets of communities that are suffering. Pockets of communities that reflected places we'd been in very rural India or Africa or South America, other parts of the world, but truly not here at home. And we found them to be invisible and voiceless. And we looked at each other and we said, you know what? We have one more walk to do. And this walk has to be with the intention of opening the heart of America so that we can see with courage where we are. Because one of the things that we've learned in all these years is that everything out there is simply a reflection of what's in here. When there's chaos in here, there's chaos out there. So what is it within our heart that we need to come face to face with to affect the change that will make this world a better place for all people? And that began what's called the 13 Moon Walk for Peace. And we called it that because one of the elders I traveled with, Mr. Haile Makua, who is now ancestor, of the 4 that I traveled with extensively, 3 have made their transition. Including Mr. Haile Makua. But he always used to say to me, when we begin to look at the 13 moon calendar, which is the lunar calendar, we will begin to move from the head to the heart. And so in honor of him, that's why this walk was called the 13 moon walk. So we walked for 13 moons on this journey. But I was reminded often of a quote by Eleanor Roosevelt on this journey. It isn't enough to talk about peace. One must believe it. And it isn't enough to believe it. One must work for it. People always say to me, how can you walk for peace? Peace never has been and never will be. And you know what we say? That's one story. That's one story. And I want, you know, if I don't convey anything else, I want you to hear this. Because the power of story affects all of us. Our story is that peace not only is, it is alive and well. We traveled around the world. We traveled across this country. Never have we been funded. Ever. We had to walk in the faith that what we needed would be present in our moment of need. And it's not cheap taking 7 people around the world, even if we are walking. Because, you know, we've got to cross water and, you know, you don't want to show off, so you got to take a boat or a plane. But we made it in 3.5 years, 6 continents. And that's a testimony to something much greater than any one of us. We stayed in homes that were Muslim. We stayed in homes that were Hindu. We stayed in indigenous communities. We stayed in Christian homes. We stayed in temples, ashrams, you name it. Church basements. When someone meets you for the first time and brings you into their home, into their sacred space, and takes care of you, that's peace. When a family in the middle of India that's never even seen a Westerner, and certainly, you know, we look like a box of Skittles, all colors, all ages, you know, my mom's in a wheelchair. They didn't know what to do. They'd never seen us. No one spoke English. Very poor, in the middle of rice paddies. Look, they bring everything they have to create a feast for you. That's peace, is it not? When people in communities that are completely Muslim, we were in Morocco during Ramadan, completely, we weren't in the major cities, we were out in Wasita Wahed, which is a small community on the outskirts of Marrakesh. Probably never even seen a Christian, but took us in. And one thing that we heard over and over, as long as you believe in something, right, Karen? As long as you believe in something, the idea of believing in nothing was the worst thing in the world. So what I'm saying is those are the stories that we often need to share so that we can nurture peace within. And when we nurture that peace within, it begins to grow. That's what we have discovered. People say, what do you show up to do? When we say nothing. What are you going to do in our community? Be present. And I want you to hear that. So many places we've been, people expected us to come to say something, to do something, to change them. That's not why we walk. Our guidance in love is to be present, to hear people, to feel people, and then to become the stewards of those stories and those experiences. So I'm here to say that peace is alive and well. We must nurture the stories of peace. Find within the stories of peace clues as to how we can truly affect peace in a systemic way, in our politics, in our culture, and even in the way we worship. In those relationships are the answers. Martin Luther King used to say, peace is not merely a distant goal. Okay, it's not a distant goal, but it is a means by which we arrive at the goal. When we weave the stories of peace, we begin to find in each other the answers that we seek. Because when you are in a place of peace, which means that inner space, as Peace Pilgrim used to say, when you find peace within yourself, you become the kind of person who can live at peace with others. How does that happen? Because in that place of peace, I hear you, I see you, I recognize that I am you. We are mutually bound together. And therefore, any choice I make has to be for the better good of us all. Because if I don't, then I'm making a bad choice for myself. Right? I am keeping myself in hostage. And in the Native American way, you know, it's that we walk with a flame. Let me back up. I didn't mention this. At the beginning of the walk, Six Nations up in Canada, they've been keeping a flame of the great peacemaker, and I don't have time to really talk about the great peacemaker, but look up the great peacemaker if you don't know that story. He unified the Iroquois Federation, the longest living democracy. Our Constitution is based on the Iroquois Federation. But there were three things left out: the role of women, the role of Mother Earth, and the role of our children. In the Iroquois Federation, the Great Law of Peace stated that if you're going to make a decision, you have to think about that decision seven generations out. If it's wrong for any of those generations, you go back to the drawing board and keep working on that decision until you can see it being good seven generations out. And so in that place of where we are bound mutually with one another, we have to begin to think that way. We must think that way. I want to say that all of us have a calling, and this is especially, I want the young people to hear that. All of us are born with something that is so pressing that in no matter what we do in life, that vision, that dream keeps coming back. It's like a lure. It just keeps pulling us back, no matter how fast or how far we try to run from it. And each of you have that already within you. Your destiny is great. Your life will be a journey into your destiny. And at every point, you will have a choice to choose to embrace that or not. And there will be lots of things that will affect your choices. What are people going to think about me? Anybody had that one? How is the world going? I'm supposed to fit into this box, but if I make this choice that my destiny is calling me to, I'm going to step out of the box. And then who am I going to be? I have to tell you a story about that. On the journey, people often say, well, what are your steps to becoming a peace walker? And my first response is, in the first 4 months of any walk, you have the opportunity to lose your mind. And if you can't lose your mind, you will leave the walk. You understand? Right. And let me tell you about my losing my mind experience. My son John probably laughed at this one. I had an interesting, you know, I feel like you know, God has conspired with me and sent these four old ladies to as his assistant. I call them my grandmothers there in spirit. And I, at about 35 years old, ran head-to-head into a brick wall on my own journey. I was going down one direction, although Spirit was calling me here. I was on a fast track to success and, you know, boom, and three beautiful sons, you know, being mom, being in graduate school, working on my doctorate, being a dean at a college, and all of this. And then one day, cleaning the floor, felt this elephant kick me in the chest. You know, I had a mild heart attack. But the doctor told me I had a choice to either live what I'm here to do, there's something I'm not doing, or I probably wouldn't be here very, very long. And so it took a lot of reflecting. Well, what does that mean in my life? Long story short, I left my job. I said, okay, Spirit, I'm going to embrace the path that you've put me here to do. Now, I don't understand it, and I don't know how to do it, but I will show up to every dream and vision that you give me. And I will take it one step at a time. And that's what my life has been about. And I remember early into the journey, one of my elders, I went to him, I said, I don't know if, I know I said I'd do this, but I don't know if I can do this. And he says, well, what's the matter? I said, I feel like I'm losing my mind. I'm going crazy. And indignantly, he looked at me and he said, my dear, it takes a mad, mad woman to do this work. So, first step on becoming a peace walker is learning to lose your mind, because you have to allow the mind of God to have the space that God needs to work in you and through you. If you're taking on a mission like this and you say, okay, this is my mission and I'm going to do it this way, ooh. I will give you an exit from the walk and help you get started on your journey, but I can't embrace that on this walk, because the vision came from God, and it's much bigger than my understanding. So when people say, did you know what you were doing? No. That's why the first night on the trail, we slept in a bear's den and didn't know it until the next morning. We're packing up the tent, and it says, do not sleep here, bear's den. So your visions will call you into places and spaces beyond your understanding. But if you have faith, if you have faith and your intention is to follow what is given to you, what you need will come forward. We arrived in New Zealand on the World Walk. We had $67, seven people. My mom's in a wheelchair. We had just left the South Pacific that was tropical. New Zealand, it was cold and rainy. We didn't even have water. We had enough money to rent a car to get to a campsite. And people were literally standing around the car laughing to see and taking bets as to whether we would get ourselves the wheelchair and our backpacks into the car. But we did. So we get there and we're like, what are we going to do? So we put a call out to our community for help, and my son John and others helped us with some ideas about how to hold that space, if you will, where it seems like chaos has taken over, and so for survival. But then we as a circle, we circle every day, and we believe in the power of intention. So in our circles, we started to say what we wanted. And the next day, whatever it was that was asked for, in silence or in voice, was literally outside of our tent. Now, Karen, am I telling the truth? Well, it got so good that after a few days, I said, okay, I'm going to test spirit here. I said, I would love, the sun was coming out, the rain was going away. I would love to have two camping chairs so I could sit outside the tent and we could look at the sun and just kind of, you know, relieve all this tension over the last few days. The next morning, there were two blue camping chairs outside of the tent. I didn't even voice that verbally. So what I'm saying is I know that it's a dramatic statement, but it's our truth. You had a statement about truth and living into truth and speaking our truth and being our truth. That was our truth. And so in the moments of those phenomenal occurrences that you know are far beyond you, the small I, you meet God. You meet the divinity within. So you no longer have to have the answers. It got so good on this walk that whenever we would come to a moment of adversity, we'd look at each other and we'd say, boy, it's going to be good to see how God works this one out. We traveled around the country in an RV that an elder had provided for us, but he had to leave the walk at a very, right now. Woke up that morning, he had to leave and take his RV. Well, I have my mom in a wheelchair, and so in all her needs and all of our needs. So within less than 24 hours, we unpacked the RV, had it in a van. Everybody was saying, what do we do now? I said, I don't know. Let's just get in the van. And then we found out that the van that we rented was the only van available. We were in Pennsylvania. We were outside of Philadelphia. I don't even remember the community. In the whole area, including 50 miles away. It was the only van. We packed that van and everyone says, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know, but you know, I think we're going to find an RV on the other side. Karen, David, others were saying, okay, it's going to be 26 feet. It's going to look like this. It's going to look like that. Well, long story short, when we got there, within 3 days, we not only had a van, we had a sponsor who decided you have to have this in order to finish the walk, who paid for it, and the price we paid for it is much less than we could have paid for a used car. That's God. That's Spirit. So when you embrace that call of Spirit, whatever it needs to come forward, if you totally commit yourself and hold that intention for the greater good, not the specific thing, the RV was nothing, really. The thing is we're going to arrive at the next destination holding this vision for peace no matter what. So all the stuff really is inconsequential because truth be told, we could have just kept on walking with our tents and our backpacks. But these things happen so that you have a story to tell. Let's circle back to the beginning when I said it's our stories that are so powerful. And we have to tell the stories of the victories. As we embrace our visions, as we embrace something greater and higher and more powerful than ourselves, we must find ways to tell those stories because in those stories are things that people can hold on to as they are attempting to reach out and touch that higher self, that call of spirit within them. That's our mutuality. In Corinthians 13:11, aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and power will be with you. You know, when I first read that, I was thinking about agree with one another. How do you agree with somebody who thinks differently? Well, you see, that's where we often get confused. We think we all have to be alike. Look at nature. Go out and look at the beautiful trees and the colors. There is no sameness. In nature, diversity is what gives us the beauty and grace of the presence of God in nature. Yes? So it is the diversity that we each create that gives us the power when those differences come together, when we don't resist them but embrace them, allows a greater flowering to happen. And so when I read that, agree with one another, I thought about all the times I've been in conflict and how if I just take a moment and breathe into it, I am not affected by our differences. When I say that who I am is not affected, but who I am can be much bigger if I can embrace the differences that we express. And we take the time to live into the differences and navigate our way through that into peace. Because the promise is the God of love and peace will be with us. Yeah? So sitting in this room right now is all that is necessary to change the world. The only thing we have to question, because is our mind. Because our mind is going to say, no, that can't happen. Because of this, because of that, we're powerless, we can't affect the politics, we don't have the money, that's our mind. But when we slip from our head into our heart, we come to that place of cooperation, and we begin to look at, who are we? Remember that question came up before it also, didn't it? Who are we? Whose are we? If we truly believe that we are children of God, then who are we not to have the power and presence to change the world? That's the question I leave you with. Embrace your intention for who you are. Allow that to shine like the sun. And it will pull to you all that is necessary, even in those moments when it feels like all is lost. It will pull to you what you need to radiate abundance, opportunity, to radiate peace and love and joy and creativity, to radiate that one thing that can make a difference in the world, the one thing that only you are here to affect through a song, a dance, a presentation, work with your hands, just simply hugging somebody. All of that is within each of us. And it is in that peace that I salute you. It is in that peace that I thank you. It is in that peace that I embrace this moment to be the most powerful moment in now time, because we are poised to make a difference. Thank you so much. This is Audrey Scott Williams, and you are now listening to Wisdom Teachings of the Grandmothers on Now Time Radio.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Wisdom Teachings of the Grandmothers. This is your host, Audrey Scott Williams, and your co-host,
Karen
Hunter Watson, and we are enjoying this beautiful evening where the temperature's just right, and we're in the company of good friends and a very warm environment. What a blessing that is when so many have not, you know, so many are dealing with tremendous temperatures and inadequate heat or housing, and yet, you know, this human family continues to thrive. So we send our love out into the universe. We send our love out across this country. We send our love to every expression of life, and we know that through the love that is within us are the seeds of awakening that will allow humanity to rise above its limitations. And so we give thanks. And when I say limitations, I mean the illusion that we're not good enough, the illusion that we don't have all that it takes to change the world, the illusion that privilege, power, and greed is more important than our human family. And so tonight we send our love out to all those who are in need of a warm embrace, who are in need of housing that is adequate for this weather and for the temperatures. And we send our love out to those who are dealing with great emotional challenges right now, with grateful to be joined by our dear friend once again. You met her last week on our show, Brenda Kay, who is a dear sister who housed us in when the walk was in Australia and sent us on our way around the country, and then also has been with us on our walk since then. So sort of we met, and we are connected forever. Before we begin an interview with Brenda Kay, I wanted to find out if Karen has a message that she would like to bring forward or sharing that she would like to bring forward at this time.
Thank you, Audrey. Greetings, everyone. The time we're in right now is just so beautiful. A lot of people look at it one way, but I look at it as a time of beauty because we have the opportunity now to open up our hearts and our beings so that our love can come forward in such a prominent and beautiful way because of all of the things that are happening in the earth and the things that are taking place within people's lives right now gives us that opportunity that we can share our love with one another and that we can share our hearts of peace and gratitude and be grateful for all of the things that we have and not think so much about those things that we don't have. So I think right now it's just a real good time for us to be grateful. Even though it doesn't always look the way we want it to look, we have to know within our hearts that things are happening just exactly the way that they should happen for us. And if we continue to do those things that have been placed in our hearts to do and continue to love one another and to open our hearts wide and be able to embrace that brother or sister that we don't even know, then I think that things will begin to change a lot for us and we will begin to see things a lot differently than what we do now. So in my heart right now, I'm just grateful and full of gratitude for all of humanity, knowing that we are all connected in such a beautiful way all over the planet and that we have that one divine light that sparks between all of us that brings us together in such unity and love. And that would be what I would like to share with you this evening.
You're listening to Wisdom Teachings of the Grandmothers on Now Time Radio.
Your hand, walk to the promised land. Yeah.
I won't give up. I'll take your hand and we'll walk to the promised land. We are love warriors. And certainly on Wisdom Teachings of the Grandmothers, you'll often hear reference to love. Love is an energy. Love is a power. Love as the transformational language of our time. Welcome again to Wisdom Teachings of the Grandmothers on Now Time Radio. Brenda Kay, welcome back to Now Time Radio. It's good to have you here. Tell us what you're doing in America and how people can stay in touch and maybe take advantage of some of the work that you're doing.
Hi, Audrey. It is such a joy to be back here again in the States. It's just home away from home for me here. And I'm hoping and planning to spend a lot more time. I came over this time to get myself married. Well, yeah, that's true. It's the best reason there is. But the best part is that I get to connect with people that I love here in the States, including you and Karen and many other dear friends that I've made in the past. And I'm working, doing my work as a psychic artist. And a psychic artist is someone who draws spirit guides. So when people come to see me, I do a reading, and then with that reading comes through the spirit guide who is supporting you most in the moment and the one that needs to come forward at that time. And it's the spirit guide that is actually walking with you and supporting on your healing journey as you move forward. So my speciality is in not so much what's coming in the future, but what might be holding you back from being able to move forward. So clearing the past is really what I'm aiming at and where my focus and intention lies as part of the reading. And then the drawing of the spirit guide comes through, and he's the one, or she will be the one, that carries forward. I'm doing this work mostly from two places, in Atlanta, Georgia, from Meditating Mantis. That's in Canton Street in Roswell, and the other place you can find me is at Horizon Center, and that is in on Roswell Road, Sandy Springs, right next door to Phoenix and Dragon. Now, the best way to contact me to find out exactly where to go and to get more information on what I do and how I can assist you in your healing journey, my phone number is 619-481-0667. So you can talk to me. And there's also a web address that you can go and have a look at to give you a broader sense of what I do. My web address is www.brendakayart.com. And that's K-A-Y, no E.
So, Brenda, I have a question that I know that I've seen your drawings, and they're incredible, the portraits that come forward from your spirit guides, as you see them in us, as you are with us. How did you get started doing that? I mean, that's an incredible thing. You're the only person that I personally met who does that. How did you begin that path?
Well, that was a very interesting story. We could sit all day and talk about that, but I'll give you the telegram version. I started when I was 12 years old. And I was really opening to spirit, but I had no idea what was happening at that time, and I was very frightened by what I was experiencing, so I turned my back and shut all of that down. But what I was doing was starting to draw, and I was spontaneously drawing faces, but I didn't connect that to the spiritual awakenings that I was experiencing. And so I was drawing these people out of my imagination, as indeed they still come through out of my imagination. But that's what all great creative work comes from. That's how our angels work with us, through our creative imagination. And in fact, I don't actually see the spirit guides with anyone. I really just, through my experience when I was 12 years old, I learned a technique that I continue to use today. It's actually a shamanic technique, but I was totally unaware of that fact at the time. And I simply move my energy just a little to the left, which is sounds easy, and it is. And so that leaves my right arm and my right hand free for spirit to move into that into my arm and my hand. And then the pen just takes off across the page. So I don't actually look at your auric field, see a spirit guide, and then try to commit that to memory and then transpose that onto paper. That's too much of me getting in the way there. So what is actually happening is a state of pure channeling where I'm simply getting out of the way and allowing spirit to move through me.
That's quite interesting. I mean, I being a channel in other areas, Karen, haven't you had that
exactly? That's the way that's the way channeling works. It kind of just comes through and moves through you, and that other part of yourself kind of sits back while it's all taking place.
Yeah, I know that I'm thinking about particularly long channels, and if I was trying to mentally grasp what was coming through, it's no way in the world I could hold that energy. So what I think I've had a similar experience, not so much moving to the left, but just going under and just allowing myself to just not be here so that my vessel can be used by spirit as the grandmothers come in and channel whatever it is that they want. But one thing that's interesting, and I don't know if you get static in your drawings, but often when they come through and you listen back and it's like you hear all these sounds that weren't in the room, you hear sometimes I have a friend of mine who's editing the reading of the year, working with the original recording. He's like, what, did you all have a motor going on in there? And I'm saying, no. He says, well, who are all those other voices? I said, well, there wasn't anybody else but Karen and I, and Karen doesn't talk during the channels. He says, oh, no, that's not true. I heard voices when I was doing the editing. I said, no, that's just the way it is. So do you ever get static where spirit kind of comes through and takes over?
Well, it's not quite the same, but, yes, I can say that sometimes if I do try to step in and change something, sometimes I might be starting to draw a really big nose or I'm wanting to draw a smile because I want that face to look pleasant, but my hand, no matter how hard I try, will not go in any other direction. Even if my hand wants to and appears to be going in a way that I really don't want to because of, you know, I don't want the face to be unbalanced or unhappy. But it's in those moments that I just have to totally trust spirit and just allow it to be. And it's those times I show my clients and they say, oh, look, it's Great Auntie Joan, or
right.
Or there is some kind of recognition. So, you know, that's the one thing about channeling, it is all about trust.
It is.
As indeed life is.
Do you want to say something? Yeah. What it feels like when I listen to you talk about it, I can understand it, because I realize that once you decide within yourself that you've given yourself over to this intention and it's already there, then spirit is, it's the same way in when you're doing other things in life. Spirit just takes that control and does exactly what has to be done, mm-hmm. because you said, okay, I'm allowing myself to be used for this purpose. And that's what it is with a channel. You're saying, okay, spirit, I'm here, so use me to, you know, to your will. Whatever it is that you want to have happen, allow that to happen through me, and then I'm the channel that it comes through. So it feels very, very familiar.
Mm-hmm, yeah. I'm reminded of a time this was years ago, we were channeling, and Karen, you were there. Karen's been transcribing the channels for years and digitally recording them as they happen, but this particular time we were joined by two others, and there is one entity that comes through and has never had an earth experience. So when his energy comes in, it's not like it's not an easy energy sometimes. And so on this particular time, he came through and he asked that all the lights be turned off. And so one of the people decided, well, it was their bright idea to turn the overhead light out and then go get this spotlight and plug it into the wall. And when she did, she plugged it in the wall, and we're in the midst of the channel, and all of a sudden the light blows up and catches on fire.
And immediately, you know, it was like, oh, God, there's Khan. But, you know, so we have all these, and I'm sure you have, all these incredible experiences when as a you're allowing yourself to be used as a channel. I mean, in that space, so many funny things happen. You know, everybody thinks it's always so serious, but then you have Khan coming in and blowing up the light. Even the fire came right out of where the light was plugged in. I think it's probably still burnt to this day. But, yeah, so, you know, channeling and funneling energy that is so huge into these small vessels, into this third dimension, can be quite an interesting feat sometimes. So any other funny stories, Ben?
I'm just trying to think offhand, but there's always funny things going on. That's the beauty of working with spirit, is that they have an amazing sense of humor. And I was talking to the woman who runs Meditating Mantis, Connie. She's a beautiful woman, and she's always laughing every time I talk to her, because she says every time she sees it or hears me going into a session, there's always laughter coming out of the room. And she said it just lifts the whole place. And that's the beauty of it. There is, you know, there is always joy, always joy when
and
you're working with spirit.
Yeah, that's a really good point to make. You know, I think it's like anything else. When you're really living what you're called to live, it is truly a joyful experience. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come right back and get you to give us that information again in terms of websites and contact information and where you'll be in Atlanta. And, of course, we'll have you back on as we update those locations from time to time. Let me take a quick break here.
This is Audrey Scott Williams, and you are now listening to Wisdom Teachings of the Grandmothers on Now Time Radio.
I want to let you know that this weekend I will be on Sunday, January 22nd, at the American Visionary Arts Museum in Baltimore, downtown in the Inner Harbor, for the 2012 Eco Conference that will be happening there. I will be sharing teachings from the grandmothers and talking about prophecy in general and connecting that to some of the great elders and wisdom teachers that I have had the experience and opportunity to sit at their feet as we journeyed around the world and across the country. So I will be speaking there. It's going to be a tremendous gathering. There will be scientists. There will be indigenous elders sharing their wisdom. There will be Tibetan monks who will be keeping the energy by drawing a mandala throughout the day. And it will coincide with the art exhibit, All Things Round. And so quite a day. It will be starting at 10 o'clock Sunday morning on the third floor of the American Visionary Arts Museum. If you're in the Baltimore area, you really won't want to miss this full-day activity that will be available to you at no cost. What an incredible opportunity to hear scientists and researchers and channels and just, you know, you name it there to talk about what we see happening in the environment sort of as a call to action, knowing that deep within all of us is the answer. Just in the presentation, as I said earlier in the show, we are the ones. We have the answers. We came here with the answers, so let's get busy. Once again, I wanted to say that on Friday, Peace Talks will be happening. Peace Talks on Now Time Radio, coming to you at 12 noon Eastern Time. Join me this Friday. Actually, you know what? Don't join me this Friday because I will not be on the air. How about that? Join me next Friday when my guest will be Edith Billups, and we'll be talking about biogenesis, healing instruments specifically designed for this time. And then on this Sunday, Sound Synchronicity will be on air at 9 p.m. with your host, Makua Ray. And then I'll be back with you on Wednesday with Wisdom Teachings of the Grandmothers here on Now Time Radio. Brenda, as we begin to wind down our show for today, wow, these shows go so fast. Perhaps you can once again share with our listeners how they can be in touch with you, where you'll be while you're in Atlanta.
Yeah, sure, I'd love to. I hope everybody has a pen and paper handy. I will be available at Meditating Mantis in Canton Street, Roswell. Then I'll also be at Horizon Center, and that is in on Roswell Road, Sandy Springs, right next door to Phoenix and Dragon. The best way to see me is to contact me. Feel free to have a chat. Give me a call on 619-481-0667. And my web address is www.brendakart.com. And on there you can see a gallery of my artwork and read a little more about what else I do. I'm also a healer, and I do other types of spiritual work. So check that out and get in touch. I'd also like to point out that I also work remotely. So wherever you happen to be across the world listening to this, feel free to contact me. Thanks, Audrey.
Nothing lasts forever. No one lives forever. A flower that fades and dies. Winter passes and spring comes. Embrace the cycle of life that is the greatest love. Go beyond fear. Go beyond fear. Beyond Fear takes you into the place where love grows. When you refuse to follow the impulses of fear, anger, and revenge. Beyond means to feel yourself. Start every day singing like the birds. Singing takes you beyond, beyond, beyond. Beyond. We need a repeated discipline, a genuine training to let go our old habits of mind and to find and sustain a new way of seeing. Go beyond the rights and the wrongs. Prayer cleans the head and brings back peace to the soul. Go beyond to feel the oneness of the unity. Sing. Singing takes you beyond. 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 We are all the same. All the same. Looking to find our way back to the source. To the one. The only one. Go beyond revenge. The greatest moment in our lives is when we allow us to teach each other. Go beyond to feel the oneness of the unity. Singing. Singing takes you beyond. Journey inside of you to become quiet, to hear the beyond, to become patient, to receive the beyond, to become open, to invite the beyond, and be grateful to allow the beyond. Be in the present moment to live. Start every day singing like the birds. Singing takes you beyond, beyond, beyond. What does love have to do with it? Love grows when you trust. When you trust, love heals and renews. love inspires and empowers us to do great things and makes us a better person to love. Love makes us feel safe and brings us closer to God. When you go beyond, it's where you find true love. Keep singing. Singing takes you beyond. Beyond.
Wonderful, wonderful week.